Welcome to the Gamers Inn. Come on in, pull up a chair next to the fire. It looks like you've had a long journey. I'm your host, Jocelyn, and joining me, as always, is my co-host, Ryan. Hello, Ryan.
Hello, how's it going?
Not too bad. How are things with you this week?
I'm doing great. I resolved to be positive today, and guess what? It worked out for everybody.
Oh, I'm glad you can be so positive, because work is absolutely kicking my ass right now, so...
Well, I have something that might cheer you up. I was kind of tweeting about it all day today, and there's a happy ending to what started off as kind of a somber aw moment. In that, and I'll post a link in the chat room here, this morning, locally, there was a gamer, a 13-year-old gamer, who was supposed to have a birthday party, and no one RSVP'd to his birthday party.
Jerks.
Who doesn't RSVP to a birthday party? Like, cake, food, fun... Pin the tail on, do they still do pin the tail on the donkey, or is that like
I don't think 13-year-olds do pin the tail on the donkey. I'm not sure. I'm not positive, but...
It's been a while since I've been a 13-year-old, but I found out this kid, his name's Odin, by the way, epic name.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When you first started talking about him, I was like, wait, what?
Yeah, the god of thunder, wait, no, who's Odin?
Thor's dad, so he's even more badass than Thor.
I thought, oh yeah, yeah, you're right. He's Anthony Hopkins, basically. And I found out he's a gamer. He owns an Xbox 360. He loves Minecraft. That's what 13-year-olds do at birthday parties.
Yes, that is definitely what 13-year-olds do right now.
Minecraft, yeah. So he was supposed to have a party. He wasn't going to get one. So his mother posted this awesome article, and I've posted in the chat, where she was asking people to text him happy birthday and to write very positive things to cheer him up. And turns out it trended on across Canada. He's, like, right now having, like, a birthday party. He got free dinner at his favorite restaurant, poutine. He loves poutine.
Oh, of course.
Yeah, as all Canadians do, for those Americans listening. It's like, I knew it! and then right now, where Ashley is right now, he's at a bowling alley with 200 of his new closest friends from around town, including the police department, the fire department. Like, he's just, like, the local hero, and it's just... awesome to see this positivity. So I encourage everyone who's listening, we'll put the link in the show notes, wish him a happy birthday, send him awesome Minecraft stuff, because I'm sure he'll love that, and yeah, just wish him a happy birthday. His name's Odin, he turned 13, and I wanted to make sure we mention it, because again, like, it's just so easy to get caught up in the weeds of the negativity around gaming, and I saw this and it's like, perfect, I'm gonna make this my mission today. As did everybody in town, essentially, because he's, like, rocking tweets from... Twitter Canada even gave him a shout-out. Like,
really?
Yeah.
So does he have a Twitter account? Like, can I go tweet him right now?
No, he doesn't.
Oh.
It's actually originated on Facebook, so I don't... Oh. It's kind of weird. It's like Twitter kind of took it over, and I think it's because the people who posted it are more Twitter people. But, yeah, it's interesting. He was bullied at school, and he wasn't going to have anyone at his party, and it's just... unfortunate, and now he's having, like, he's probably having the best party ever right now. So anyways, happy birthday to him. That was a lot of fun to
yes, happy birthday stuff. Odin. Mm-hmm. Odin the Minecraft fan.
Love yeah. I haven't played Minecraft. I feel like Odin's got that.
I know.
On me.
I think we just totally missed the boat on that one, you know? Like, yeah. It kind of grew in popularity among, like, the younger crowd, and it was something you and I didn't jump into right away, and then by the time we actually kind of started to see it and think about maybe playing it, like, it's way too late. Way too late.
You know, it's never too late. You know what we could do is we could be hip... Is it hipsters? No, hipsters are the people that...
Hipsters are the ones, like, right at the very beginning.
They're the opposite. So, yeah. Ping Pong Pete in the chat room, I remember I played Minecraft when it was in alpha. It's like, okay, buddy.
Exactly. Yeah.
But no.
At least I can say that about Heroes.
True.
I played Heroes when it was in alpha.
You're a Heroes of the Storm alpha. You got that weird like dude that just has like an alpha imprinted on his forehead. Whereas yeah. I only have the beta. I'm not as cool. But maybe we can like jump on the bandwagon in a more appropriate time when Telltale releases their like story Minecraft game, whatever that's going to be. So we'll be sure
please
to.
No. I don't actually want to have anything to do with that.
All right. Well, you know what? Actually, it's funny. Like, I think we got really lucky with Wolf Among Us, and we'll stick with that.
Yep. And you have something else you want to mention off the top of the show, too. We have a new article up on Gamers Inn.
It's been a while since we've posted. We sometimes welcome guest writers on the Gamers Inn, and Joshua Hill was nice enough to send us an article, a really well-done article, related to a topic we discussed a month ago. I posted an article, and it's about DLC, and he's basically was sort of inspired by the Evolve talk and how DLC is a word used to describe many, many different pieces of content. And I think he did a great job, and he came to us with the idea, and he's a professional writer, and I thought that was truly awesome, and I was happy to post it for him. And we got another one going up this weekend about reviewers.
So. Yeah, so yeah, he's been creating some really great content, so you guys should go check it out. And if you are unaware, because we usually say it right at the very end of the show, and I know each and every one of you listens to every single minute of my voice, but we do have a website over at gamersinpodcast.com, so you should go check out all the articles over there. Which brings us to what we are playing this week, and I've got to say, dude, outside of Heroes on Game Night and my usual smiting, I have not played shit this week. Yeah. I have had the most crazy, intense, stupid week. Like, I was snowed in for 2 days without any coffee, which should never happen to anyone ever.
Yeah, and that is unfortunate.
I've just been like, I feel like I've been running around like a chicken with my head cut off. Like, we have so much going on with Angry Chicken right now. We have the Angry Chicken Open Tournament, which is next weekend, so I'm organizing all of that. And I'm so super excited about it. Like, the community support behind it has just been amazing. Like, we literally, not sold out because it wasn't for sale, but, the registration was done in, 30 seconds. It was like, I put it out on Twitter, and we had our 128 participants, and I was just like, okay. So it's a little bit overwhelming, but still really, really cool. But it's taking up a ton of my time, so I have work going crazy because we missed 2 days this week because of the snow. And then we have, the Angry Chicken tournament that I'm organizing that's just making me crazy. But Heroes last night, I had a lot of fun playing Heroes. I'm really liking playing bots.
Yeah, bots are awesome. And so is, Murden? I'm trying not to say it like America, but that's how you're supposed to say it, right?
Yeah, no, it's Murden.
Murden. I play Murden, and he's pretty cool, and I have a blast with him. I did the same thing with Smite, where I'd jump in. Oh, what's the hero rotation? Oh, okay, Neith is free. I guess I'll just play Neith for the rest of my life. But no, there's just so many other heroes out there, and I wish.
Well, for Heroes of the Storm, don't they change it? Isn't it weekly?
It is weekly.
Smite is not weekly. Smite is whenever the hell they feel like it.
Yeah, Smite's a little all over the place. But I kind of wish Heroes had the buy all the heroes pack. But I know Blizzard wouldn't do that. That's
true, but Blizzard's never going to let us do that.
Yeah, that is unfortunate. But I don't know. I guess I'll just keep playing until I find a hero I really like. Like, I'll buy Murden. I think he's just a lot of fun to play. And
I love Zagara.
Yeah, Zagara.
Yeah, she is one of the Zerg. She's a queen. She's not Kerrigan. She's one of Kerrigan's second in command type level people. Yeah. And she basically helps repopulate the swarm in Heart of the Swarm.
Gross.
I really, really wish that they hadn't made those titles so close together. I mean, Heart of the Swarm and Heroes of the Storm are very hard to say close together. Damn it, Blizzard. Damn it.
Isn't it? I saw someone on the Patreon was called it Haas. Like, they dropped the T. Like, Hero of Storm.
Heroes of Storm?
But that doesn't make sense because you don't drop the T for the other one.
I'm sure I've said it on here before, but just in case I haven't, it is Haas. It's Heart of the Swarm. Heroes is Heroes of the Storm. There are two. You can't call them both HOTS. You just can't. It gets too confusing.
One because
some of us still play StarCraft. God damn it!
But wait, what about when Legacy of the Void comes out? I'm getting a real strong deja vu from this conversation. I think we've actually done this back and forth.
I think we have.
But I think go ahead.
Of the what? Lotva? Lotva.
We did talk about this.
I think it'll just be either Legacy or Void.
Can't we just call it StarCraft 2? Why does it gotta be all preppy and get an acronym
because
every time?
It makes a big difference. It's the multiplayer, because there's a huge difference between Wings of Liberty multiplayer and then Heart of the Swarm multiplayer and what is going to be Legacy of the Void. Huge, 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 massive changes, new units, new balance changes, all that kind of stuff. Yeah, you can't just call it StarCraft 2 because it's basically three totally separate games. Come on, Ryan.
Yeah,
what's wrong with you?
I guess you're right.
Do you not watch any Husky?
No, I should. I need Husky to teach me. Teach me, Husky. I haven't touched StarCraft 2 in a long time. Come on, patrons, suggest it.
So good. Suggest it's so it. Good. Actually, we should do that for game night because honestly, like, I love it so much. And I jump back in once every, you know, like month or two. And every single time I jump back in, I'm so, so terrible all the time. And it makes for really, really entertaining video.
Well, yeah, we need some comp stomps. That's what we've been doing, Heroes.
Oh, no, I think we should go full on 4v4 with you and I and six viewers and just somebody, you know, somebody in our viewership is going to be just a total StarCraft pro and they're going to jump in and just roll us all.
Yeah. And then what we need is someone to like crash something into a hydro pole when the other team starts to win. That's a callback if you've ever heard one.
There you go.
Good stuff. No, I'm glad I'm really enjoying Heroes of the Storm. I'm digging it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I'm really liking playing it too. I wish the thing I find with Heroes versus Smite is in Heroes you have the top down view and I just don't like the movement, which is funny because I like StarCraft, but for whatever reason, I don't like the movement in Heroes of the Storm when I compare it to being like third person view and moving with like WASD in Smite. Mm-hmm. So I find it really difficult to get into Heroes and to get really good at it. Do you know what I mean?
Well, you're rocking pretty hard with the Zagara there. Like, there's just creep everywhere. I was just, here I am, Murden. It's like, oh, I got the goops in my boots. I can't do a good Murden voice. Yeah. That was terrible. But, you know, you get the idea. That was terrible,
but I knew what you meant.
Yeah. I got the goop in my boots. Write that down. Title of the show.
There you go. Yeah. But, yeah, no, I really like playing Zagara. I like putting down the creep tumors because I feel very much like it's a little piece of StarCraft in my Heroes, which makes me happy. And I haven't played Lili in a while, because I started having a lot of fun on Zagara, but then I played somebody else too. Who else did I play? Cause I switched it up.
Tyrael? Not, or are you talking about last night?
Last night.
Oh, I thought you just played Zagara. We only played three matches.
Oh, maybe I did just play Zagara. Mm. I thought I switched it up for the last one. Ah, maybe I'm just crazy. Maybe I wanted to switch it up and then we just didn't go that far. I don't remember.
Oh, no. You played the tank.
Oh, yeah, the tank. Yeah. Okay, there we go. Yeah, I'm like, I know that there was something because I was talking about it. I was watching Scott from Frog Pants was streaming his raid last night. So I jumped in there for, you know, half an hour or something just to hang out, say hi, and see how they raid because obviously leading our raid on Tuesday nights, I am like the noob to end all noobs. So I wanted to see like how Ben, who is Aliana in game, how he did his raid leading and how he was, you know, organizing everybody and where they put stuff. And, you know, because I find when I watch raid leading videos on YouTube, they are just so far beyond me. Mm-hmm. It was really nice to see somebody who is competent, but I can still follow. Like, they're not like, I've been raiding for 10 years and I'm just going to splurge with acronyms.
Splurge with acronyms. We're just coming up with so many great... We're going to have to keep that one for next week, that name title.
Yeah.
that tank was pretty badass. And, like, you had Murd in there, like, kind of taking on the people. And then like, I just softened him up. And, yeah, good combo. Good
Sergeant combo. Hammer was, again, it's the siege tank from StarCraft. And I found it really, really easy to just jump right in and start playing because the whole, like, siege-unsiege is very much the same mechanic as it is in StarCraft. So, like, I'm really good at StarCraft. Well, okay. I have a passable amount of skill in StarCraft.
You're better than me. Like,
so, you know, it came really naturally to me to be like, okay, siege up, do a bunch of damage, unsiege, move. You know, like, and yeah, I really, really like that. So you're right. Sergeant Hammer is the other one. So, yeah, I've had some really good heroes lately. I can't remember the last time I tried a hero and I was actually really terrible at it and didn't like it. But I don't pick melee heroes. And that, I think, is the key to all of my gaming. Is, like, I need to be ranged. I can't be, like, right in there with a sword. Mm. It feels badass, but I'm just so bad at it. Like, the couple of matches of Smite we did play, like, when I was Kabrakin, that was the worst thing of life.
Oh, come on. I thought it was interesting, Kabrakin we're switching to Smite. The Nerd Rage skin. Like, it's... You bought it. I did too, so I'm in the same boat. And when I get Kabrakin, I'm the same way. Kabrakin, I'm not good at Kabrakin. Where's Josh when you need him? It's, you know, to pass him off, because he's really good at Kabrakin. And, but you get to use a skin you bought. And, like, every so often, you'd hear in the distance just, like, beep, 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 beep. And it's like this it's move.
Me smashing the ground.
Yeah, like, oh, are you carrying a bunch of fridges around? It's like, no, they're servers.
Servers.
Back in my day when I was your age, servers looked like giant gray boxes as opposed to these black blade things. So no, it was a lot of fun to play Smite. We lost horribly, but we did have fun playing with patrons. We got some awesome people joining us. New guys this time. Jimmy, of course, good old Jimmy the Shovel. It was nice to have him aboard, but I'm trying to remember. It was
we had Blood Anubis was playing with us last night, right?
Yeah, and Blood Anubis and I'm sorry, I forgot.
Yeah, we're terrible.
Terrible people. I could remember. It's funny because I had to remember their chat name and then I had to remember their Skype name. I think one of them was Jesse. I can't remember.
Could have been.
I'm sorry, guys.
Ryan's just the worst. We'll need to write it down next.
Was it Juan? Juan was one of them.
Yep, but I can't remember if Juan is Blood Anubis or not. Oh, Darth Brony was
Darth
the other
Brony. Thank yeah. you, Darth Pony. Darth Pony.
No, it's Darth Brony.
Oh.
Because every time I see it, I think, oh, Bronies.
Oh, okay. Well, no, that's probably how
he is awesome, but just I don't get the Brony thing. I never have.
I don't know. It's outside my comfort level.
Yeah.
Oh, Blood Anubis is Juan. Sorry, Blood Anubis. See, like,
okay.
You guys need to, like, maybe make your name Blood Anubis Juan 87. Just combine it so I can understand. I called
it's
Josh
so difficult.
Carito the Dorito for months. And then he's finally like, all right, fine. Ryan, let me put you in a corner and sit you down. Just sit down. It's fine. My name is not Carito or Dorito. He changed all of his things to just Josh so I would understand his name is Josh. Not Carito, not Dorito. Josh. And
it's so hard though when you have like Twitch names and you have Twitter names and you have in-game names and you have games across like, you know, PlayStation and Xbox and PC and all these different like WoW and Smite and Heroes and, you know, battle tags are different than toon names and it's just like I think I know these people but like I've deleted people from my friends list so many times so I'm just like I don't know who this is. Delete.
Who's this person?
And then like 2 minutes later I get a tweet from someone I talk to every single day like, so, I see you deleted me from Battle.net. That was kind of mean. I was like, crap. You can put names on Battle.net now, though. Like, you can put little notes with, like, stuff. So, now I've got names of being like, this is actually Barbecue Master. Like, this is actually... because they're just different everywhere. But anyways, we are way, way, way off on a tangent.
That's what
happens.
Because
I just haven't played too much this week. So, Ryan, what the hell have you been playing?
All right.
Get on it.
I've got another wacky game for you. So I'm going to set up the President Abraham Lincoln. You with me so far? She
Not
is.
Not even a little.
Okay, Abraham Lincoln is the president of the United States. I can't remember which one. Anyways, he has set up a extreme task force to take on the alien menace in Codename Steam, a new 3DS game. And you play as it's like Fire Emblem. It's made by the same guys where you get to choose from a bunch of different heroes. But in this case, all the heroes are based on American folklore.
You talked about this recently, didn't you? Because I remember you bringing up Fire Emblem again because that's the one where there are no feet.
Yes. We were talking about Massive Chalice. This one does not have... I made sure. I went through my notes. I prepared. I did a mock podcast with myself to make sure Hitler would not come up. And I think I got it.
You think you got it? Okay.
I think I got it. So like, let's...
You know Hitler just came up.
Damn it. Anyways,
actually, Codename Steam. Sorry,
Codename Steam. You play as American folklore heroes. You get to take four into battle at a time, and it's sort of like a real time XCOM game in a third person camera. So, like Smite, and when compared to MOBAs, MOBAs are like a top down RTS style thing. But Smite brought it behind the back cameras, third person. Aim and hit and all that fun stuff. Codename Steam has done a similar thing when it comes to XCOM/Fire Emblem type games where you're controlling individual characters. There's still a grid system and you can walk a specific distance, shoot a specific amount of times, but everything's aimed. You have to aim your gun. You have to figure out how much steam you have to make sure that you're walking a set distance, firing a set amount of times.
XCOM turn-based?
Yeah. This one is
too.
So
is this turn-based?
Yeah, so it's turn-based.
So it's turn-based, but third-person view from behind you.
Exactly. It's turn-based in the sense that you, as a player, take your turn, and you control your guys individually, and each character has a set amount of steam that they can use. One block of steam is moving one square. And you can move anywhere within the one square without using a piece of steam. And then as soon as you cross that threshold, you use a chunk of steam. And that's how they sort of like gate you from walking all over the map and shooting an infinite amount of times. Shooting, depending on the weapon you have, takes up a specific amount of steam. So that's like sort of the system for movement. And the way it's real time is that when you spot an enemy, you have to actually aim your gun, hit, and you can hit an enemy wherever you want, or you can like aim specifically for weak points. In typical Nintendo fashion, there's a giant glowing gem where you have to hit them.
Of course.
Yeah, like some of the enemies have the glowing gem. It looks like an orangutan's, or not an orangutan, a baboon's butt. It's just like a gem. We're not going to bring up Hitler, but we're going to bring primate butts up. It's fine. And there's a giant gem there, and you got to shoot it. And so you literally have to shoot it in the butt to make it take extra damage. And the characters are very out of this world. You're playing as like John Henry.
They look really comic booky. Is that just like the stylistic choice they made on the website, or does that like actually happen in game where they're all like dot shaded? I can't remember the name for that.
Yeah, they're all comic booky. The whole art style looks like this. So on the website that you've linked in the chat, the main character is John Henry. I think he's fictional, but I guess he's a not John Henry.
Henry's not fictional.
Yeah, you're right. That's not John Henry though. I don't know who that is. The guy. Anyways, I'm not an American. I don't know this stuff. So there's John Henry, whichever that one is, whether it's the main character or the guy in overalls. Who's the guy with the ox?
I don't know, dude. You're the one playing the game.
But this is American folklore. You were trying to, like, John Henry's a real person. Okay, who's John Henry?
That's pretty much the extent of my American history knowledge. It took one class.
All right. University. Oh, I'm mixing it up. Okay, the main character is Henry Fleming, who's supposedly a Civil War vet. Where now? Here's John Henry. He's the ox guy, and I guess he tragically lost part of Paul Bunyan. Okay, I'm totally confused now.
I was yelling Paul Bunyan at you right now.
Paul Bunyan is not in the game unless he shows up later on, then spoiler alert. But anyways, we're getting away. Canada represent. Yeah, I don't know. Now Ryan is insulting American history. It's not American history. It's American folklore. Get it straight. And Nintendo is ruining it, not me.
Yeah.
Anyways, this game is a lot of fun. I love XCOM and Fire Emblem. And this one has one giant glaring issue, and it's pretty bad on a handheld system, and that's like the wait time. So after you take your turn, you have to wait for the aliens to make their movement. And there's a little bar at the bottom, and it slowly fills up. And it's all done in real time. So what's happening is, like, you're literally waiting for the other side to take their turn. And that's like the aliens, like, slowly moving, taking their shots.
Aliens moving, like, that's all AI, or is this something that you play like locally with your friends, sort of thing?
It is local. It is AI for the campaign. You can play
so it makes you wait, like, because I know, yeah. I'm thinking in Civ, that's the same sort of idea. It's turn-based, you have an AI opponent, and you have to sit there and wait, but it's more of a waiting for load time and waiting because you can actually see the AI move their dudes, like, in your field of vision. Mm-hmm. So there's a little bit of that kind of real timiness, mm-hmm. but at the same time, they don't make you sit and wait there for 10 minutes. So does it literally make you sit and wait through the entire alien AI turn?
Yes.
Lame.
It's brutal. And it's one of the glaring issues I saw in the demo, but because the art style and the gameplay and just the general uniqueness of the game and having this being a new IP, an XCOM type game, it's like instant wins in my part, but this glaring issue, like, if you're not patient, it can be really tough, and sometimes those alien moves take up to or more than a minute, and it's like literally watching molasses slowly approach you and then sometimes kill your people, and it's not fun to sit there and watch yourself die. And it's even worse when you're trying to complete the mission and when you're trying to complete the mission and you're trying to get to the goal end, and it's like, oh, I can't quite get there. And then, like, enemy reinforcements are kind of always showing up. So, like, even if you're about to hit the goal and you need that one more turn, there's still guys popping in, increasing the amount of time it takes for the alien to take their turn. That's the only gripe I have with the game. And, I mean, I literally had to, like, play the game and have my phone to the side to, like, read Twitter while it was going. It takes...
Oh, that's so terrible. Like, when it takes you out of the game experience like that, boo. Yeah.
Or, you know, I could only play, like, a couple missions at a time. Like, I'd... Because there's story and there's cutscenes, and Will Wheaton is Abe Lincoln, which is, if you're a super nerd, I'm not a big Will Wheaton guy. I know some people are, but he's really good in it. Adam Baldwin, I believe, is Henry Fleming, the guy from Firefly, mm-hmm. with the toque. People like him. Don't follow him on Twitter, though.
Yeah, do not follow him on Twitter.
Yeah, don't do
it's
that.
It's unfortunate.
But... You know, it's just got such a neat premise. It's goofy. The characters are cool. The cutscenes look fantastic. They're all comic booky. It's like motion comics. And
I like motion comics.
Yeah, and there's a demo too. So definitely go check out the demo if you're at all piqued. And you can kind of test for yourself whether that waiting is going to be a problem for you. I think if you know it going in and you can kind of accept it, you can kind of be like, I just want to experience this XCOM type gameplay and the story and the unique look of it, because I don't think I've seen a game that kind of looks like this in a long time. And yeah, I think it's worth playing. If you have a 3DS, check out the demo. That'll mm-hmm. that'll let you know whether you're worth it or not.
Geez, we have a lot of Nintendo stuff going on tonight.
Yeah,
it's been a while.
Nintendo, man.
This much Nintendo.
Top of the world. No, I'm just joking. They're having issues. Wait time.
Yeah, really. So, Ryan and I really appreciate your continued support of our show, along with the support of our sponsor, Doghouse Systems. You can use the code THEGAMERSIN to double your RAM when you purchase a new gaming rig. So head on over to DoghouseSystems.com and get your order on. So that brings us to our topic of the week this week, which is Nintendo's mobile news. So kind of out of nowhere, I would say. I mean, I think that they're finally making a good move here. Basically, what they've done is they've partnered up with... Okay, so is this... Dina, DNA, like how do you say this? Because I was just reading articles. I haven't actually watched any announcements or anything.
It depends who you listen to, but they did a great take on it on DTNS. So if we don't get into the technical nitty gritty of it, like look up DTNS. I think Patrick was on that one.
Oh man, I love when Patrick's on. He's so good.
And he's a huge Nintendo fan. So me and him, like, you're basically going to get like a smarter, Frencher, more technical Ryan talking about Nintendo, which by all means is worth it, especially when it's with Tom Merritt back there as well. Not backing up, it's his show. They pronounced it as DNA. Some people are calling it Dina, but I think because it's Japanese, like you pronounce the
I think the it looks to me like DNA. That was my first like...
Yeah.
Gut reaction to it.
Yeah, but the news is really incredible. And you're right, it did come out of nowhere, especially since Nintendo has been adamant. But I think people were asking the wrong questions of Nintendo when they're saying, you need to get into mobile, you need to get into mobile. Like, they're asking them to make Mario and port games to the iPad because it can support, like, higher fidelity games, right? But what they're doing here is they're partnering with a Japanese company, like super partnering, not just saying like, yeah, we'll put a couple games on like PlayStation's half-assed PlayStation Mobile that they just killed this month. but they're going all out. They like bought part of this company. It's actually a really fascinating news piece.
I'm interested to see where it is a Japanese company, how any rollouts of any games happen. Mm-hmm. Like if they'll keep it just to Asian markets or if they'll roll it out to North America and how long that might take, like how much of a test audience they're going to be looking for before taking it worldwide. Obviously, I want Mario on my iPhone as soon as freaking possible, but I don't know. I'm really interested to see what this actually means for the 3DS, for mobile, for markets outside of Japan. Like it's a really bold and interesting move. I'm glad Nintendo's doing it because it's about freaking time.
Yeah,
that they actually like did something that it doesn't to me it doesn't feel gimmicky. Like I'm actually really surprised because it seems like they're kind of moving forward but not in a weird way. Like this move to me makes a lot of sense if they're gonna discontinue their 3DS. Like I find it really weird where they already make mobile hardware that mm-hmm. then they're going to also do phones.
But see, like, this is there's the key to this. There's three parts to this announcement. And I know a lot of people jump to, oh man, they're going to make mobile games. It's not like most of the best example of this as we've seen is what Sony has done with some of their tie-in titles, like the companion apps that people are making. Like,
right.
It's actually a bad example because Nintendo doesn't want to do free-to-play or only free-to-play companion apps. They want to make fully-fledged games for your tablets and smartphones that will connect to a overall membership program. So the second part of this...
But didn't they just get rid of Club Nintendo?
Exactly.
Wasn't that kind of their cross-platform membership program?
No. If you've used Club Nintendo, you know how terrible it is.
Yeah, I couldn't even, like, I logged in and then it wouldn't take my codes and I was like, I just bought this 3DS, like, what the hell, Nintendo?
Yeah.
That was pretty much my Club Nintendo experience.
Club Nintendo was never an automated process unless you were buying, like, digital copies. And even then it was, like, just a train wreck. So Club Nintendo was an antiquated system. It's been around for, like, it was around for more than 5 years. I think they had stopped at 7. This new system that they're building is going to be a cross-platform membership program where you log into what I'm assuming will be called your Nintendo ID, and it's going to be on all your smartphones, your tablets, your 3DS, your Wii U, and the next system that they're developing, the NX, which is the third part of this, so we can get into that in a bit, but that mobile cross-platform membership program will allow you to play games and allow Nintendo to leverage your phone in your pocket or your iPad at home to play Nintendo to play games that have Nintendo IP. Like one game I heard someone, I think Scott was talking about it, like a Mario Kingdom management game. Like think of games that only exist on your tablets on iOS that work really well there. Tower Defense, a Legend of Zelda Tower Defense game. And people could be saying, like, oh, that's just, like, you're just picking the easy ones off there. But, like, this is what Nintendo needs to do. These are the games that make money. These are the games that will encourage people to be like, yeah, I kind of do.
Match 3.
They've already done it. They did a Match 3 game. Or no, it was a Candy Crush game on your 3DS, free to play. Total free to play. Energy system, buy coins, buy power-ups. Crazy town. This is, and we're seeing our first product probably near the end of 2015. And I see this as an opportunity for Nintendo to get their properties, which is their number one asset right now, like Mario, Link, yeah. Zelda.
I've been saying that for like, well, since we started the podcast.
Yes. That was your main argument.
How many times have I said, God damn it, Nintendo, put your games on hardware that's not yours.
Yeah, and what's the number one hardware out there that everybody has in their hands and pockets? Smartphones. And we're not talking about Nintendo making Xbox games. We're not talking about them making PlayStation games.
But they will. This is totally the first step.
I think if this doesn't work, sure, well, they might have to look at ending their console creations. But the reason they've started with smartphones is because they are the most popular devices on Earth right now. Like, you can get a smartphone anywhere in the world. Consoles are expensive, bulky. A kid, we were just talking about a 13-year-old earlier in the show, I'm sure he has a smartphone with a bunch of games on it. And if you ask him, like, what do you have? It's like, I still have a 360, which is therein lies the problem, is that these kids aren't buying new consoles. But that brings it to the third point, is that Nintendo made a point of saying we are continuing to create dedicated hardware for games with this NX announcement.
Yeah, this NX announcement has me a little bit worried, and I see your notes in here as well, and I think that we're probably on the same page here. When they say brand new concept, we go, well, crap. What are you going to do? Make it 3D? Make it, you know, they've already done 3D. They've already done motion. Are we going to maybe see something like VR, which could potentially be exciting, but feels like a little bit too far-reaching for Nintendo? I don't think Nintendo's actually there yet.
Yeah.
So I'm just kind of like, oh, man, what are they going to make us do? Maybe they're going to make us actually stand up and like that Dance Dance Revolution mat, but like more? I don't know.
Guess what, guys? We're making you stand up, again, 2006 up in this thing.
Burr, 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 burr. It'll be like the balance board, except for bigger, and you'll have to like actually like run when you're Link. And
yeah, I from what the rumor mill is that this NX could mean a couple things. It could mean just a Nintendo new experience. There's been rumblings that Nintendo will create a hybrid system. They've already sort of taken their developers of hardware and software, moved them into the same building, taken their portable systems and their home system development teams, merged them into one building. There's rumors that they might do a hybrid system where you have a piece that comes off essentially your 3DS, and you play the game on the road. And then when you come home, it like snaps into your console and upgrades, beefs the system so you can play the game upgraded on your TV.
Hmm.
Like that to me, like a brand new concept can mean many things. It can mean it's just like it's not a Wii U 0.5. It's not a new 3DS. It is a new concept. We've went back to the drawing board. But then the skeptic in all of us is like, great, there's a new gimmick we're going to have. Yeah. And we're not going to get more details until next year.
Which is crazy. Like, it is only March, and they're saying, like, we're not telling you shit for another 9 months. Like, Nintendo, why did you even tell us anything at all? Like, oh, we have a new console. It's called the NX. And, yeah. Oh, nothing else. Not till next year, suckers.
But you know why they would. If they didn't say anything, we'd be having a different conversation right now. We'd be saying, well, what you had said before, I had kind of said, well, that's why they said this. If they hadn't have said it, then we would be saying, Nintendo's doomed. This is their smartphone announcement.
Oh, I still think this is idiotic. I still think that they're doomed. I think that they're going to pour a whole bunch of time and money into this new console. It's going to tank. And then they're going to be like, damn it, we should have listened to Jocelyn 6 years ago.
I don't think you're right in the sense that they're going to tank, because I have a little bit of faith that they might have maybe learned their lesson. The Wii U has been a sore thumb in this whole, like, if you look at all the consoles they've released, this is the lowest of the low. If it weren't for the Wii being so popular at the get-go, I don't think the Wii U's failure would allow them to take another shot. If the NX is a bomb, like, or if they don't look at the Wii U as some sort of a failure, like, whether it's not the games, but the pairing of that hardware with the tablet and making it so required, I think that's the issue. Is like, if Nintendo doesn't see that and they develop another new concept console, and it's like, you're going to have a screen and you're going to attach it to your eyes, and then you're going to hook it into the back of your neck and you're going to go in the Matrix. Oh my God,
Nintendo Glass.
And that's
Google Glass, Nintendo Glass.
That is an example of Nintendo not learning. And I think that with this mobile announcement, it's smart and it's interesting. It's not total doomsday Nintendo's actually going crazy, but
the more I think about like Nintendo Glass, the more actually kind of excited I am about that kind of a gimmick, because like, how cool would it be to wear your Nintendo glasses and be able to like walk down the street and see like a question mark box, and then you could just be walking down the street and go boom and get like bonuses in game. That would actually be kind of cool.
Now you're just pumping them up. It's like, okay, yeah. Jocelyn says we're gonna do VR, let's do VR. And then she's like, no, I think psych,
augmented realities, but I don't want full VR. I don't really have a lot of interest in that whatsoever, but yeah.
I look forward
Nintendo
to
Nintendo Glass. That's it. Trademark. I'm my idea. Nintendo.
I'm pretty sure.
Pay me all the royalties.
Google trademarked that first. I think they got you there. But I'm interested to see where this goes. I think it was important that Iwata like said, like, we have a new console we're working on, dedicated game development, but it's not coming for a few more years. The only reason we said it was to just hammer down that we are still a hardware company. And
I wonder, yeah, like, how much of this is actually going to hinge on this mobile development. Like, if the mobile development does really, really well, mm-hmm, then does Nintendo just go, well, you know what, like, do we even need to do this next console? Like, we're really doing well selling our games on platforms that aren't ours.
I doubt, like, it. I don't
what
know
what if it's super successful. Like, mobile gaming is huge now. Can you see, like, and then what if they go from mobile gaming to Facebook gaming.
Oh, God. Is Facebook gaming still a thing?
I think so. I don't really know.
I think so.
It's been years since I've been in that space. But that isn't that where Candy Crush started? Wasn't Candy Crush a Facebook game?
Yeah, but I think iOS...
Or do I just get spammed with invites from smartphones? I don't even know anymore.
I think iOS
that's what
sort
I mean.
Of...
Like, the line is really, really blurred now. Yeah. There is no, like, Facebook gaming totally separate from mobile gaming, totally separate from, like, all of these things, because everything's authenticate with Facebook and Twitter and this right. and that and the other thing, and everything's combined. So, I mean, like, I feel like Nintendo's just kind of going to spread out into all these places. They have games that are, I'm going to say 99%, because maybe there's one that I'm not thinking of. Oh, maybe Zombie U might be a good one.
Mm-hmm.
But 99% of their games are totally family-friendly. You don't have to worry about watching your kids and making sure that they're not clicking on the boobs and, you know, bashing in the heads. So, you know, you've got, like, your Marios, your Zeldas, your Metroids, you know, all these, like, really cool, fun, like, games that yeah. can, you know, appeal to people from 5 to 50. And I don't know, I feel like they're just going to explode and they're not going to have to do hardware anymore.
Yeah, but like, I understand, but like, I understand where you're coming from, but that's like not the Japanese way of doing business. Like, you're describing the American way of doing business. Like, we hit it big. We've got this great hardware thing. We're making so much. You're describing the EA business line where it's like, okay, Battlefield makes a bunch of money. We don't have to develop it. We'll just get a bunch of different companies develop it, put one out big each year. Question mark, question mark, question mark. Profit. Same thing with Call of Duty. Like, get three or four different companies that'll make the game for us each year. Question mark, question mark, question mark. Profit. Like,
yeah. Nintendo. Well, I don't necessarily think that they need to do that. I just mean, like, I think that they're going to be very, very popular in the mobile space.
Yes, of
and
course.
It would be a poor decision, I think, mm-hmm. for any company to be really, really popular in software and continue to develop hardware. Like, it just doesn't make sense to me, especially when their last hardware just totally tanked. And yeah. I would almost argue that they're doing that with the 3DS, with the new hardware, like, every year. It's just that they're mm-hmm. doing the American model with the 3DS, and I don't know about you, but I've only ever bought one.
Yeah.
Like, I've only ever bought one 3DS, DS, the, you know, mobile Nintendo platform. I have my 3DS that was the gold and black Link Between Worlds collector's
edition. Gold
and
white.
Yeah, exactly. and that's the only one I've ever bought, and I'm not going to upgrade a bazillion times. So, I don't know.
I understand where you're coming from, and I agree with you in the sense that, like, if Nintendo hits it big with this smartphone thing, this is a first for any video game company, like a major console developer, to say, like, we are totally partnering up. DNA is a big, they're the number one mobile phone game developer in Japan. They're huge. And now Nintendo owns 10% of their company, and they own 1% of Nintendo. And this is great because Nintendo's always had an issue with bandwidth and developers. They're going to get DNA to make the game using Nintendo assets. Nintendo will have some oversight. They'll jointly develop a few games. And we're going to see great Nintendo property games come out, hopefully great, as opposed to some of the Sony ones that have come out. And yes, I am a Nintendo. I really enjoy Nintendo games. Val's calling me out. She's saying, aren't you a Nintendo groupie? That's pretty much the byline of the podcast whenever Nintendo comes up. I say, like, hey, do you want to discuss Nintendo tonight? And it's like, sure. Is it bad news? I'm like, oh, could be bad news, could be good
news.
It's
kind of, yeah, and I find a lot of Nintendo news lately has really been walking that line where we're just like, let's see what happens, because this could go really well and this could go very poorly. Like, yeah.
Oh, she's saying I should be cheering them on. It's like, well, I kind of am. I'm excited to see what's happening, but, like, I'm as skeptical as Jocelyn is when it comes to the NX, because I do own a Wii U, but I don't know if I want another Wii or Wii U. I kind of want Nintendo hardware to make the gimmicks optional, or make the gimmicks better, more interesting. Like, I would say, like, the gimmick of the N64 was, like, the rumble pack, the, you know, the weird Trident controller, the joystick thing, like, but that all caught on because they were good gimmicks.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the GameCube, the gimmick was the little small discs and the purple lunch pail thing. Like, it didn't catch on. There has not been a purple console since then.
That's true.
So I don't know. I'm not holding my breath, but I'm interested. I like what
I was
Nintendo
gonna say
does.
It will be really interesting to see how this all develops going forward, and I'm sure that we will see something out of Nintendo. Well, we're gonna see our first title in 2015, right? So later on in the year.
Yes, we'll get our first smartphone. I think they were saying they'll probably unveil it at E3 with a release. I think they were talking later half of 2015.
Yeah. So we'll see something. Yeah. So when is E3? June, right?
June, yep.
Yeah. Yep. So a couple months and we'll get some more news out of Nintendo. So I think it's definitely something to watch. Mm-hmm. Has the potential, if they're smart, to have a real impact on the way they do business. And I'm interested to see going forward because, like I've said a bazillion times on the show, oh man, if I could have my Zelda on my PS4, I think I would just never leave the couch.
You would actually play your PS4.
I would actually play exactly. I still have not used it other than like that couple of hours I played The Order. Mm-hmm. I have not used it for anything else since I got it at Christmas except to watch Twitch.
I give you a hard time, but I'm in the same boat. I have been playing a lot of 3DS, Wii U, and PC games. So my PS4 is like, but we're giving you free games every month. And I was like, yes, that's true, but I probably would have bought them if I really wanted them.
But thanks for giving them to me for free.
I did check them out.
When Fat Princess comes out, I will play the crap out of that, as long as they don't change it too much from original Fat Princess, because original Fat Princess was amazing. And you can't get it on PS4. It's only available on PS3. Like, please just port it over. It's like the simplest game ever.
Yeah. Now, Val has been asking us to play Helldivers, so we'll have to talk about that.
Yeah. So I think, oh wait, do you want to talk about it now?
No. I meant like later. Like, oh. I don't know anything about it. All I know is that it's cross-platform. So yeah. No, let us move.
So if you want to show off your TGI pride, you can head on over to slashloot.com. That is slashloot.com to grab yourself a Gamers In t-shirt. They have tons of other awesome shirts, including all of your other favorite podcasts like Azeroth Roundtable, Torn, Think Tank, Zombies Ate My Podcast, and The Angry Chicken. So go to slashloot.com and show off your podcast pride. So we have a patron to thank tonight. Ryan, do you want to go ahead and take that one?
Yes, Barbecue Master is our patron of the week, and I can only imagine he can make a delicious dinner involving things that are cooked on a barbecue. If he could confirm that with edible evidence, that'd be fantastic, actually. Could go for a burger.
I feel
actually.
Like you just like asked him to like mail you ribs or something. I don't think they would be as good by the time they got all the way to Canada.
Me halfway. How's that sound?
That sounds fantastic.
I'll bring the barbecue.
Nerdtacular.
Nerdtacular. You could bring it to Nerdtacular.
There we go. Yeah. So yes, Barbecue Master is our patron of the week. So thank you very much for being a patron of the Gamers Inn. We appreciate it. It allows us to do things like have Gamers Inn game night on Thursdays. And we have our first Ask Us Anything patron hangout tomorrow. That is at 5 p.m. Eastern time. I'm super excited about it. I need to remember because this is the first time ever that we've done this. And I'm used to doing monthly Angry Chicken hangouts, but patron hangouts for Gamers In are totally new. So,
new.
That is 5 p.m. Eastern time. We will be streaming right here on Amove TV. I'm very, very excited. And do they have to sign up on the patron page?
Yeah. So for patrons,
you've been running this, so.
I kind of been running with it. And we'll see how this one goes. And then we'll come up with some more hard and fast rules for next time. But for this time, if you're a patron, go to the activities tab of patreon.com/thegamersin. And you'll find the activity. Just leave a little comment if you're planning on being there, and we'll add you to a list. And if you're not going to be there, you can actually ask your question or put in your point of discussion in there, and we can try to address it as best we can. And if you're shy and you don't want to actually be on the show, that's another option as well, if you want to just kind of send us an email and we can address it on the show. But patreon.com/thegamersin for all your fantastic hangout details.
Gamers In needs.
Huh?
I said all of your fantastic Gamers In needs.
Indeed.
So I think that pretty much does it for us this week. Thank you so much for hanging out with us, guys. Again, if you are listening to the audio version of the podcast, you can catch us every Friday night at 8:30 p.m. Eastern time. That is on twitch.tv/amovetv. If you'd like to visit us on the web, you can do so at gamersinpodcast.com. You can also find us on amove.tv along with other fabulous podcasts, including Into the Nexus, Campaign Roundtable, The Angry Chicken, and Amove Radio. If you'd like to, you can follow us on Twitter. You can find find me, Jocelyn, at GIS Gamer. Ryan is at R Murphy, and don't forget to follow the show at The Gamers Inn. The video versions of all our episodes can be found on our YouTube channel, which is youtube.com/JocelynMoffitt. You can also find the show on Facebook and Google+. If you'd like to email the show and let us know what you think about Nintendo's latest move, you can do so at info@gamersinpodcast.com. We will be right back with the after show right after this, so don't go anywhere. And remember, tune in next week.
Next week.